much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, I think most of you know May 1st, Monday. Mayday, mayday, mayday. So let's get into it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Okay, where do you see yourself in the future?
Future, okay. So for real, I give this actually like a lot of thought. It's like there's no government, there's no laws. I'm the head of like this roving murder gang kind of thing. But my best friend is a robot.
I do not understand what is going on right now at all.
I mean, if you'd asked me who's more likely to commit murder, I would have said Al Michaels, not O.J. Simpson. One time at the track, I saw Al Michaels slap a dwarf because he did not like the look on his face. I said, Al, that's just a man's face. I don't know. There's a lesson in there somewhere, but I'll be darned if I know what it is. Any doodles?
Oh, no.
I like it. Get it, man. Get it good. Get it. Get it. Smell it.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 1st of May.
Clipper! Sorry, I choked.
Oof. I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago when the rap sensation from Utah started putting out his mad beats.
Z-Dog
about his beloved Utah Jazz. So I have not heard Z-Dog.
Oh.
Would this be an appropriate time to hear some of that in honor of them moving on to the next round of the playoffs?
You're in for a treat, first of all. Because Z-Dog brings the heat.
He's a white dude, right?
Oh, I think you'll be the judge of that. Listen to these.
All right.
Jazz all the way. You know it.
I love it so far.
Yeah. Z-Dog here. You know who it is? Clippers. They're so ugly. Man, DeAndre Jordan shouldn't be an all-star. Clippers are so ugly. They smell like weed. L.A. is the worst city ever. Joe Johnson is the king of the Utah Jazz. Yeah. Clippers fans are disgusting. They smell like... They smell like Popeye's chicken breasts. Yeah. Let's
what
go, Jazz.
What is that?
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs, baby. The Clippers, you will get swept by my Jazz. Clippers are the worst team in the NBA.
Well, they did make the playoffs, so I mean, not really.
A lot of teams didn't even make the playoffs.
A lot of teams. Yeah, Jazz didn't sweep them at all. That Dave has to be taking that very personal, though, right?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's going to kick in at some point, right?
That's it?
That's what you're thinking.
I don't know why they have to have a coach like Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a crybaby. His son, Austin Rivers, smells like weed.
Oh.
Clippers, you're so physical, but you're the worst team and the trashiest team in the NBA.
This is just the scratch track, though, right?
Are the best team in the NBA.
I'm sorry?
This is just the scratch track. I mean, this is just him laying down just to see if the words fit, and then he goes in and just in mad beats.
Annihilates it? No.
Mad beats.
This is the mad beats and the annihilation.
This is it,
yeah.
They have their number one fan. His name is Z-Dog. Yo, that's me. That's me, Z-Doggy. Not Z-Caddy, but Z-Doggy.
Oh.
See what he did? Right?
And I tell you what the biggest surprise for me is, hearing this for the first time, is that Utah is well known for producing a lot of quality rappers.
Yeah.
So I would have expected more from Z-Dog.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like the hotbed of rap.
Right?
Jazz, well, no. Number one fan, die hard. What up? The Clippers like making love to the referees. They don't deserve all the calls. I hope Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Jordan will lead the Clippers.
Why do you
Clippers
care?
Are the worst team in
they're
LA.
Terrible.
They're the worst in the NBA.
But my Jazz will sweep them in the playoffs.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. Z-Dog alert.
Now let me
Jazz
ask you this:
Jazz Nation, what?
There you go.
All right.
Why does he want all those Clippers players to leave the team if they're so bad? You think he'd want them to stay forever? because it's less competition in the conference.
Are you using logic with Z-Dog?
I'm just trying to understand where he's coming at us from. That's all.
He's coming from the heart.
Right.
And obviously the soul. There's apparently nothing but soul.
Well, we got to keep an eye on his social media today. He's going to he has to drop a new track today. I would
right.
think they move on to the next round, right?
Yeah, I want to hear him talk about the Warriors.
I bet they smell really bad.
Clippers.
Right?
Right. What was that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Did you mean to hit that? Or, I mean.
I didn't hit it.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
It was the other guy.
What's no, up?
That wasn't me.
I didn't hit it.
Chip, was it you?
No.
I don't even have it.
I don't even know what that was.
Well.
Allie, did you recognize it?
No.
Chip?
What? Did you what, the what's up?
No, this.
What's up?
That was me, but there was another
yeah,
whole.
Yeah, it was a weird Clippers thing.
Well, yeah, that's this one that I played.
The well, that's what we're saying!
I thought you were talking about the Dave one, because I didn't play that, and I was surprised that played in the middle.
Guys,
all.
Let's get it together.
There you go.
Clippers!
All right.
Okay, yeah. No one's
right.
listening.
No one's listening yet.
And apparently the stream is down, too, so nobody really is listening.
So literally no one's listening.
Right.
Yeah. All right, yeah, you got to be more clear. I have no idea what you're talking about there.
What's up?
All right, there you go. That's Dave. Well, we'll see how Dave's feeling today after his day.
Well, how do you think he's feeling?
Well, sometimes Dave goes, you know what? We made a lot of progress this year. We'll get him next year. Sometimes he goes, wow, this year, a lot of people are saying it's time to break up the team, end of the road.
Right.
That's it. This was our last best chance to advance. So, I don't know. Let's say, you know, every time your sports team gets eliminated, you have to evaluate how bad it is, how tragic it is for you. Sometimes worse than others. That's all I'm saying.
What's up?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Or, and this is the other way to go, not.
We have Jensen Karp in studio.
Also an LA Clippers fan.
Right, and also a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Talking about his book, Kanye West Owes Me $300. Very funny book. We have, let's see, Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays. We have What's Up with Florida. And the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta sold out. So we have your tickets. You could win them this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
What's up with Florida? Coming up right after the top of the hour. And don't forget your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2017 on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, May 20th at StubHub Center. First, it's that guy talking about that stuff.
It's Showbiz time with the Showbiz Beat. On a Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, see what people went to see over their weekend. And no surprise, once again, The Fate of the Furious came in at number one, $19.4 million. Once again, oh, Santa's here.
Santa? Santa, did you bring me presents? Santa!
That's not even the right button.
Huh.
I feel like this would have been more appropriate.
There you go.
They're next to each other, sorry.
Play that wildly entertaining thing with Dave with the Clippers that no one knows what it is.
Well, we both hit a button at the same time. It was mass confusion. But again, we weren't on the air then, so no one heard it.
How to Be a Latin Lover debuted with $12 million. That was number two at the box office. Then, here's your big surprise at number three, Bahubali 2, The Conclusion. Right? Who saw that coming?
What?
I knew it would be, big, but I didn't think it would be number three.
Wait, what?
Bahubali 2.
What did it conclude?
Bahubali 2.
Oh.
The conclusion was the conclusion of Bahubali.
Right.
Uh-huh.
The first Bahubali.
Right.
I'm not familiar with any of those words.
Oh, man. Really? You're not down with Bahubali?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
I don't either. I'm guessing it's a Bollywood movie.
And it came in third.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Right.
Made $10 million. It was number three at the box office. It only opened in like 400 screens.
Oh, my God.
It's a massive, massive hit. Wow. Everyone was dying to see what happened at the end of Bahubali.
Oh, well,
the
yeah.
Conclusion, because this is the conclusion.
It's Shiva, the son of Bahubali. He begins his search for answers after he learns about his heritage. So that makes sense.
Well, I mean, we all knew that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
That is the coolest thing I think I've ever heard of in my life. I'd never thought of that in my life.
Obviously.
The Circle, new Tom Hanks movie, was fourth at the box office with 9.3, then The Boss Baby at number five. The rest of the top 10, Beauty and the Beast, Going in Style, Smurfs, The Lost Village, Gifted, and Unforgettable at number 10. You know, I finally got around to seeing this weekend, a chance to jump out to the movies, was Kong Skull Island.
Oh. And?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Very entertaining film. Good cast. John Goodman sure jumps in and out of that film.
He sure does.
He shows up sometimes, and he's gone for long stretches, then he'll come back for a scene, and you won't see him again for a while. It's like, what was his deal? What was that contract like?
He had one day to shoot.
I'll work 3 days. Shannon Doherty is officially cancer-free. I'm happy to report this good news over the weekend.
Yay! Right.
She revealed that she is in full remission. Overwhelming, she calls the news. Of course, she is being cautious because she admits that recurrences happen all the time. But she's just happy at the right here and now that she is cancer-free. So we're glad to hear that because breast cancer is evil on so many levels. Tom Cruise isn't slowing down at the age of 54. He still insists on doing all of his own stunts. And he was seen over the weekend hot rodding on a BMW motorcycle under the Arc de Triomphe while filming scenes for Mission Impossible 6, doing some very dangerous motorcycle work. The producer revealed that he has been training for a year to do all the stunts in this particular film, which raises the question, why? Tom, just sit down. Let someone else do it.
Stunned that they allow him to do dangerous stunts.
I believe it's contractual with him. He doesn't sign the deal unless you agree to that. So, but it seems wildly unnecessary.
Yeah, it does.
Very, very dangerous. Gordon Ramsay has announced he's going to be opening up a Hell's Kitchen restaurant in Vegas at Caesar's Palace.
All right, then.
Why would you want to go to a Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, you're kidding me? That's the only place I would eat.
So he would yell at you while you eat?
I don't think the premise experience of the show, Kevin, has ever been he yells at the customers. That's not the premise of Hell's Kitchen.
Look, I don't watch the show. I just know he yells.
But he doesn't yell at the customers while they're eating.
Well, Kevin, he's going to yell at the chef right next to you.
Yes, he's yelling at the help in the kitchen.
Can't wait.
That's what I want. Well, I mean, I want to sit back like popcorn. You know, watch the show. You stupid donkey! And he's dumping risotto on the ground and stomping on people and whipping towels at their butts when they go by.
You'll complain about the food just to set him off.
Apparently, no. It's not an interactive experience at all. It is just a restaurant that will reportedly feature dishes and recipes that have been featured on the show Hell's Kitchen. So you won't get the full anger experience. And this morning, looks like we're going to get some big news. This morning, Kelly Ripa is slated to announce her new co-host of her television program Live over there on ABC. There's been a lot of people going in and out of that chair for months while they figured out who's going to be the official sidekick or co-host of that show. And rumor has it, sources say, according to people in the know, a lot of people are saying...
Count Smokey Law.
No, it's not Count Smokey Law.
Then I'm out.
No.
Trapper John?
No, Trapper John passed, apparently. He was... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Zendo!
The Louisiana Creeper.
Depeche Mode.
What about Depeche Mode? Is that the answer? Depeche Mode?
That can't be the end of it.
Bobo.
Adolf Hitler.
Johnny Asshole.
Paul Walker.
Charlie Manson.
Chance the Rapper.
Biggie Biggie Smalls is the illest. Noodles from The Offspring.
Is he a queen?
Patton Oswalt.
Senor Grande.
Magic Johnson!
Boba Fett.
Queen.
Turd Ferguson.
Radio Girl.
Peggy Noonan.
Pretty McSweetface.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel!
Ladies and gentlemen, Punxsutawney Phil!
That'd be great.
Steve!
Can you imagine Punxsutawney Phil? Can you even imagine?
Three doors down.
That's the only thing that would get me to watch that show.
Why don't you tell us?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Country singer Tim McGraw is 50 years old today. Director Wes Anderson turns 48 years old. Julie Benz, the actress, is 45. We loved her on Dexter. Jamie Dornan, isn't he 50 Shades of Grey?
He is.
Guy? He's 35 years old today. Reportedly, Ryan Seacrest is going to be host, by the way, in case you were curious. Glad to see he's working. Glad to see he's going to get a job.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom with the latest in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And the pit bull of comedy, our friend Bobby Slayton, joins us next hour as well. First, though, question for you guys, and that is, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
It's not just the Sunshine State, it's also America's penis. And by the way, I forgot to tell you guys, I'm very concerned. You know, Florida Man on Twitter is a great resource for all the news that happens in Florida. Has not tweeted since April 15th.
Oh, no.
And you know there hasn't been 2 weeks of nothing going on in Florida.
So you're worried about him?
Yes. What if he got, he died in some sort of mysterious Florida-like accident, or he got attacked by an alligator, or something happened, or he's locked in his bathroom and can't get out? What's going on with Florida Man?
I think those last two were very feasible.
Well, I'm going to reach out to him.
He's locked in his restroom.
I'm very nervous. I mean, when the free press starts printing, you know, stops printing, you got to be very worried about that. Because democracy is in trouble. All right, let's see what's been going on in Florida lately. David Randall Bertram, 41 years old, detained in Fort Walton Beach after police say he stole $10.38 worth of summer sausage from the Publix store there. Now, ordinarily, we wouldn't cover just a shoplifting story, but he was being escorted to the police car and decided, Kevin, and I think you'll have a lot of respect for this, he decided to make a run for it. He took off.
Yes.
He ran through a neighborhood across lanes of highway traffic onto the Brooks Bridge there in Fort Walton and jumped off the bridge.
That
to the
always
ground,
works.
Yes, approximately 8 feet below. Officers were still able to catch up with him. They had to use their tasers twice on him while capturing him. He was also charged with providing a false name while being detained, shoplifting, and resisting an officer. So we always talk about you end up in jail, and the conversation gets around to what are you in for? He's going to have to say he was in for stealing sausage, which is not the reputation you want in prison. That you love sausage.
Yeah. Or is it?
You think maybe that's what was going on here? So he needs to make up a better story is what I'm saying. Palm Beach County, Florida. This is a very sad story, by the way. 33-year-old Matthew Notebert was finally convicted for a crash that happened back in 2014 that killed his wife, Amanda.
Oh, my God.
They were out enjoying the evening. They went to a country music concert. It doesn't say which one. I'm sure it was probably like Florida Georgia Line or something terrible. But they started drinking heavily. And on the way home, decided they couldn't wait, and they started getting frisky. Mm. The last thing Mr. Notebert remembers is that his wife was naked on top of him while he was driving he's behind the wheel, she's facing him and naked on his lap.
Oh, no.
That's no way to drive, right?
No, but that's a good way to go.
The next memory he had was waking up in the couple's SUV with his wife's body next to him. Ew. Her head crashed into the dashboard and windshield, and she was killed. They were going 55 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. The vehicle crashed so hard that it went airborne for about 30 feet, crashed into the opposite bank of a canal. Mm. He was drunk, by the way, had twice the legal limit in Florida, also had marijuana in his system. I don't know. I mean, I guess that explains why it seemed like a good idea. But take this from the Kevin DeBede show. Not a good idea.
Right.
To have sex while you're driving. In the oh, hell no department, we always talk about, and I say often on this program, that people overreact when they see spiders. They also overreact when they see snakes. In general, it's a good idea to just walk away from a snake. Snakes are usually as afraid of you as you are of them, and it's best not to engage. But I have to give Monica Dorsett a little bit of credit because she's driving down the road in the middle of traffic. She turns on her air conditioner and she sees a snake emerging from the vent of her air conditioner.
What?
While she's driving her car, just inches from her left hand. I looked, she said. I didn't see anybody in the passenger side mirror, so I did a right turn over two lanes of traffic into a parking lot. Then she opened up the door and slammed the door on the snake. She panicked, she said. She didn't want to hurt the snake, but the snake was leaving the car, and she thought she was going to get rid of it. And then it turned around and started coming back in the car.
Oh, see, that's what snakes do.
So she freaked out and slammed the car door on the snake. So the snake is dead.
And she abandoned the car?
She hasn't quite abandoned it, Kevin, but she says she is so worried that the snake may have left eggs in the air conditioning.
Oh, no.
Is that a thing? That she says she will not be opening the vents until it gets to be 100 degrees. She said, I'm just not going to use my air conditioner because I don't want those snakes coming out into the car. I think maybe get that checked out. I think maybe take your car and maybe have them look over it.
I like that. I'm not going to open it until I get hot enough. And then,
whatever. You know what?
Snakes have me.
Can you guys
imagine
driving down the street and a snake crawls out of the dashboard of your car?
I would pull over and light my car on fire. That would be it.
That would be, I mean, you would never be expecting something like that. And finally, 64-year-old Richard Lloyd is in the news. He lives in Port St. Lucie. He's in a lot of trouble, you guys. He tried to burn down a convenience store last week. He took a dumpster and rolled it in front of the doors of the store and then pulled all the signs down from the front of the store, threw them in the dumpster, and tried to set the dumpster on fire. He admitted, by the way, that his hope was that the rest of the building would catch on fire. He was trying to burn the entire store to the ground. Why? Because they didn't carry the brand of orange juice that he prefers.
What?
Yes. He loves orange juice.
I like orange juice.
Thank you. Now.
Grape juice? No. Tomato juice? No. Carrot juice? No. Orange, yes, orange juice.
He has been charged with first-degree arson, by the way. He is representing himself in court,
yes.
And he says he was just doing his part for America. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
Right day, right time to go to the newsroom at TMZ.com and bring on our old friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Want you to know, I know we have a bunch of stuff to talk about, but I did, after you mentioned that you were in Las Vegas recently, I went back and watched your talk to the NAB, I was so entertained.
Well, you must have been bored.
I was so, but I mean, I'm always interested in how you put this site together and how it works, why it works so well as it does. And I was so entertained by you telling the story about how vehemently you did not want to start TMZ as an online property.
That's actually true too.
You were insulted by the idea because you're a big TV star. The last thing you want to do is waste your time with the internet.
I did not say TV star. I said I was a TV guy, that I was producing TV shows. And when they said that Jim Paratore, who was ultimately my partner with TMZ and who tragically died a few years ago, Jim was running Telepictures at the time, and he came to me and he said, "How'd you like to do something online?" And I thought, and I said to him, I said, "Is that another way of you telling me you're canceling my television show?" and the answer was yes. And I said, "Forget that. Screw it. I'm gone." And I'll just tell you quickly. The only reason I'm doing TMZ is margaritas. That I went to Mexico like 2 months after I turned it down, and I said, and I was drinking margaritas, and I was kind of in this haze, and I thought, you know, if you start an online news operation with celebrities and you don't have like a TV time slot or a publishing cycle like a magazine, you can beat everybody when you get stuff right.
Right.
Well, that's a pretty simple concept.
So drink margaritas, everybody, when you have an important
decision to make.
Right. Well, it worked out, and it was very cool to hear the story. All right, let's talk about what's big on the site right now. You got a lot of great stuff at TMZ.com right now, but we've all been fascinated with this story that started unfolding last Friday when the Fire Festival was canceled. Now lawsuits are starting to be filed. What's the latest on this?
Well, a huge lawsuit. I mean, they're starting a class action suit. And they're basically saying that Bobby McFarlane and Ja Rule defrauded people, that they knew exactly what was going on, that they knew months before this was a disaster, and they were still selling a bill of goods to people, charging them thousands of dollars. They actually say in the lawsuit up to $100,000 a ticket for these luxury accommodations when they were FEMA tents. And they knew exactly what was going down and never told anybody, and it was just a get-rich-quick scheme.
But how did they think they could possibly get away with it?
Well, I will say this. When you think about it, they had to know a while before this event that it was going to be a disaster, right?
Sure.
I mean, when you don't have accommodations, when you don't have food, when you don't have anything, you got to know. And nobody gave anybody a heads up in terms of these concert goers who on Friday were traveling out there and they got there to see what they saw. It's like, why didn't they tell them 2 weeks before this thing ain't happening?
Yeah. I feel like it was Blink 182 pulling out that sort of.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. But why did it take Blink 182? I mean, they knew it looked like a refugee camp, and they knew that weeks before.
Yeah.
Where were the luxury accommodations ever? Where was the food? I mean, fine, there was a storm. How does a storm affect food?
Right. Now, I mean, I guess you could argue that maybe in a place like the Bahamas, an island, all the food has to be flown in, or a lot of it does, and maybe they could argue that.
Well, if people flew in, why can't food fly in? Mm-hmm.
Now, so Ja Rule, his apology that he put out on Friday, he was very sorry, but also was very quick to say that it wasn't his fault. But it sounds like what you're saying is that this lawsuit is saying it was very much his fault.
They're being sued specifically. They're saying it is that not only fault. They're saying that Ja Rule and Bobby McFarlane defrauded everybody, that they knew and they lied. I mean, this lawsuit is very clear.
Yeah. Now, is it true that they also warned the Instagram models don't show up?
Well, according to the lawsuit, not just Instagram models, but they told some of the bands, you should not go to this thing.
Oh, my God.
That is not how to run a concert festival.
So they spent the week before the concert festival just waving everybody off?
I mean, look,
I'm
not saying it's true because it's an allegation, but the lawsuit says that this was all to pocket money, that they never thought they were for months that they were going to pull off this concert.
That's a dumb plan. Money. That's dumb. All right. Why do I know the name Mark Garagos, who's the one who filed the suit, Harvey?
Mark Garagos represented Scott Peterson.
Okay, gotcha. Knew it was familiar. All right, so he's high profile. This is a big deal then. Okay. All right, well, we'll definitely
keep an eye on that. Harvey, you did good work, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Well, what happened, guys?
I don't know.
Not sure.
What just happened?
Bean just went away for a second, that's all.
Did I do something bad?
No. It's all good. Harvey,
sure?
we love checking in with you on Mondays. Thank you.
We talking next Monday? Or?
Yes, we are.
If we pay the bill.
What just happened? Did you guys not pay the electric?
It's very possible.
It's happened.
It's very possible.
So your parents called a penis what, Allie, when they were teaching you stuff?
A Tom Dooley or a Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. All right.
That's not normal?
I mean, I think it is normal for a lot of parents.
Yeah. But girls have a hoo-ha.
Right.
Guys have a Jimmy Johnson.
Sure.
So then at some point, is it confusing when you find out you get to school or whatever and you find out it's not called a hoo-ha, I would think?
I mean, I worked through it, but would it have been better if they started with penis? Sure.
Okay.
We should always start with penis.
Chip, please make a note. The reason we're bringing this up is there's an interesting story in the news out of Scotland, by the way. The National Health Service over there in Greater Glasgow and the Sexual Health Service called Sandyford. Are starting a campaign to try to get parents to use the actual words of genitals for their little kids. In other words, don't call it a willy, mm-hmm. or your little flower or whatever, your winky. Don't use those terms. Go ahead and start off with penis and vagina, and that just because otherwise you're teaching your kids that those are dirty words, and they're not dirty words. There's no reason to not say those words or know those words. Now, is that a useful campaign, do you guys think? Does that make a lot of sense to you all?
Sure. I don't mind it. Why not? Being this is America.
This is America.
Well, Scotland, actually.
So, this is Scotland. I don't know if there's any pushback on this or how well it's being received, but we asked producer Dave if there's anyone we could talk to, and sure enough, he got us. Sean McGinnis is on the line. He is from those services making this advice to new parents. Hey, Sean, how are you?
How are you doing this morning?
We're good. Well, we're fine.
Glad to hear it.
we're fine. This is a very interesting topic. It's something, I mean, it's
right, it is. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about growing up. Here's the thing about raising children. Why, we don't do this with any other body part. You don't go around saying, "Oh, where's your sniffer doodle?" and point at your nose.
That's true.
You don't go, "Oh, where are your big blinky peepers?" You call them eyes, don't you?
You do. Yeah.
That's true.
"Oh, where's your big slobber hole?" About the mouth. That'd be the mouth.
Mouth's the mouth. Okay. Yes, okay.
We don't do this to our children with any other parts other than the sexual areas.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they're confused and embarrassed and ashamed of their sexuality by the time they get in their teens.
That makes a lot of sense. So really, it's their parents who should know better that are probably too embarrassed to even say those words
out
loud.
That's what it is!
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the whole campaign.
They're taking their own insecurities and embarrassment about sexuality, and they're fostering onto their wee little ones.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
That's why we have to be more matter-of-fact about using the words that are proper for the body parts.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense.
They're vulvas, they're vaginas, they're penises, for God's sake.
Right, just use those words.
Don't play the scrotum and say, "Oh, there's your haggis baggis."
I didn't know that was a term.
That's awful.
You don't point to the penis and go, "Oh, look, it's the Loch Ness Monster." Coming out of Loch Ness.
Yeah, that'd be troubling, I think.
Say, "Oh, where's your bagpipe?" You don't want to say that to a wee little one.
Right?
You don't want to say to a little girl, "Oh, where's your crafty crevice?" You don't want to call it that.
No, you don't. You don't want to, not a crafty crevice.
"Oh,
no.
Where are your fish flaps?"
Nope.
You don't want to say that to a little girl.
No, I think we all agree on that.
"Oh, where are those beef curtains?"
Right. Okay.
You don't want to say that.
Right, you don't.
It'll give them a bad idea about sexuality in the own body.
Right.
Understood, yes.
Stop using it as a meat wallet.
No. Not a meat wallet.
Come on now.
Are
parents saying that?
Yes, they are. They're going to Lee, wee little Annie, and saying, "Oh, take care of your cave of wonders." Don't touch yourself and your hippos yawn.
The hippos yawn.
That's right. Oh, dude, you have to cover up Mom's glove box. You don't want that.
I think we agree with all of your points.
Is there something wrong with that girl there? Something's happening to her. Help her. Help her, I think. I think she's got something caught in the stench trench.
She's not getting any help.
Are we human or are we dancers?
Are we dancers? Tell us, are we dancers?
Allie, you're a Killers fan number one. Did you ever figure out what that song's about?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the Pitbull of Comedy, our friend Bobby Slayton, joins us in studio just after 7 a.m. And then we're going to give you your chance to win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2017. That is coming up next half hour. Rob's here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Before I get to show business news, how about some tickets? How about tickets to the premiere of King Arthur?
Oh, I can't wait.
Legend of the Sword.
Yeah!
Happening at the TCL Chinese Theater on May 8th, you will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere. This movie looks great. Charlie Hunnam, Jude Law, Annabelle Wallace, many more. It's in theaters everywhere on May 12th, but you'll see the premiere at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood on May 8th if you're one of the first five callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. You know the number. Give us a call. First five callers through. We'll get a pair of passes to the premiere of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Looks great. Guy Ritchie, right?
Yep.
Directed that? He's terrific. Kevin, of course, King Arthur's bride, his queen?
Elizabeth.
Oh, sorry. You're so close. You don't win.
I don't know.
Guinevere. Queen Guinevere.
Sure, Guinevere.
Guinevere, Arthur. His best friend? King Arthur's best friend? Sir?
Paul.
No, not Sir Paul. Lancelot. I'm sorry, Lancelot is what we're looking for. Are you familiar with the Arthurian legend at all?
Sort of, yeah.
You know anything about
the round table? In general, I've seen the promo for this movie, and it looks great.
All right, close enough.
I know that.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This weekend, The Fate of the Furious, still number one, with $19.4 million this year. How to Be a Latin Lover debuted very strongly to $12 million. Bahubali 2, the conclusion, was third at the box office with $10 million.
What?
You heard me? Bahubali 2, the conclusion, $10 million. The Circle, the new Tom Hanks film.
Saw it.
Fourth at the box office. You saw it.
I did see that.
I find that hard to believe. Must have been your wife's
It was my choice. There wasn't a lot of choices this weekend, so it looked good. Tom Hanks, Emma Watson.
Interesting. I don't know what's happening, but
I don't know
either.
It wasn't, but it looked good.
It wasn't good?
Not really.
Oh,
well, it's not for you. Why would you go?
Because it looked
good. There's a lot of people talking in it, Kevin, about things and ideas and words.
It's my downfall.
Can't imagine anything you would ever enjoy.
Yeah.
So why did you pick that?
Well, I mean, you look at your schedule, you look at what's playing and when, and then you go see it.
You would have understood Bahubali better, I think, than you would have The Circle.
Oh, I understood it. Don't think I don't.
Didn't. The Boss Baby was fifth. Beauty and the Beast, Going in Style, Smurfs, The Lost Village, Gifted, and Unforgettable. For your top 10 films at the box office. Ryan Seacrest, it has been announced officially this morning, will join live as Kelly Ripa's co-host. Jump-starting what they're calling a new era in morning television. They're really battling it out in the morning ratings between this show and the Today Show. Megyn Kelly is reportedly going to NBC to be on there. She's going to be talking to the Kardashians. Apparently, that's her first interview. Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly's?
From Fox, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's to the Kardashians.
That's a switch.
Yep.
I thought they weren't even debuting her until much later this year. No, is she soon?
Well, it sweeps. May sweeps.
I would you think they're getting on now?
Yeah, get it in.
I didn't say she was going to do it tomorrow. She's starting this fall. Variety is reporting she was in Los Angeles last week to interview the entire Kardashian family for a piece that will likely run on her first week on the air.
Well, so much could change with the Kardashians.
Right.
It's a surprise.
Might not be topical.
And I don't have that story. I won't be doing that. We'll get that in the next hour.
All right.
Because we're out of time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim McGraw is 50 years old today. Director Wes Anderson turns 48. Julie Benz, remember her as Dexter's lovely wife on that TV show? She's 45 years old. Jamie Dornan celebrates 35 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks to everybody who bought their tickets. The show is now sold out. Talking about the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017, May 20th, which, by the way, is in less than 3 weeks.
That's right.
Playing StubHub Center with Lord and Incubus, Imagine Dragons, Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, Dream Car, and all the rest. We're going to give away some tickets right now. This is the first pair we've had to give away at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what are we looking for this time?
Well, we're going to do Stump Rodney. So you have to come up with a question about any one of the bands that's playing on the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta, and then you ask Rodney, who probably will know the answer. Mm-hmm. But if you stump him, you go into a drawing.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We'll play that game coming up next on K-Rock. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, do I understand this correctly, Bobby Slate and the Pitbull of Comedy? You're playing Oxnard this week for the first time in how long?
Well, it's a new club, so they've only been open a year. It's a new club called Levity Live, so it's the first time I'm playing there.
All right, congratulations. Thursday through Sunday, Levity Live in Oxnard. He's doing six big shows, levitylive.com. Tickets as low as $17, by the way, 18 and up, of course, and then the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach on Friday, May 12th. How you been, Bobby Slayton?
I've been Flappers of Burbank. It's my big tour, my big Southern California tour. I'm doing great, guys. It's been almost a year since I've been here, you know.
It has been a while.
Yes. And
Bobby reintroduced himself to me.
Yes. I'm not sure. Well, you have a lot of guests on, and, you know, I don't know if you remember. I still get you two mixed up, like Siegfried and Roy.
Sure.
I keep going Siegfried, you know, I forget which, and Sears and Roebuck, and I don't.
That happens to us a lot.
Abbott and Costello, I get mixed up.
Sure.
I put you guys in that category. Right. Anyway, yeah, it's been a year, and there's so much going on. I mean, not for me, but just so much going on. There's nothing going on for me except for me being here and I'm playing Oxnard, but those are two big things.
Yes.
By the way,
I think about you, Bobby, and I wanted to make sure to mention this. You were friends with Don Rickles, right?
I was friends, well, we didn't really hang out. But you know, Rickles and I were kind of friends. He, I remember somebody reminded me the first time I met him was at Harris. He was playing there, and I was playing a comedy club at the old Caesars. And I went back to see him and say hello and introduce myself. And the first thing Rickles said to me was, take a Valium, Bobby. Calm down. That was the first thing.
He speaks for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. I gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award at the prestigious Montreal Comedy Festival about 10 years ago, which was a big thrill for me. And then John Landis put me in that movie. What was it called? The Don Rickles Project, where he it was great. It was on Showtime or HBO, the documentary about Rickles. Right. You know, what was amazing about that documentary is I remember saying when they came over to my house to interview me, and I felt great because they interviewed, you know, all these great comics like Bob Newhart, these legendary guys, and it was great to be in it. But I forgot how many movies and television shows that Rickles was in. And they showed a clip from The Twilight Zone to The Munsters to The Addams Family to the classic films. And
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, it was amazing. But here was the best part. At the time, I was playing Hooters in Vegas, and the documentary is on HBO, and I had these waitresses and bartenders come up to me. Hey, I saw you in that old guy's, that Rickles guy. I saw you in his documentary. And it amazed me how many people, you know, under 40 or 50 had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the Beatles. Even if you don't listen to them, even if you listen to the stuff on K-Rock, you should know who these people are. And it's amazing how many people don't know the Beatles, don't know Don Rickles, which shows you, before I did the show, nobody knew me. And I've been up this crowd for 40 years. But anyway.
Well, I thought about you only because it seemed like if anyone was an influence on you, it seemed like Don Rickles. It seems like you're a direct descendant of his kind of comedy.
Well, you know? If you see my comedy, I'm influenced by many people. From Charlie Chaplin, I learned to inject pathos into my work, and from Lenny Bruce inject heroin into my arm. So it was basically, good night, ladies and gentlemen. I just made that up. No, you know what? I think Rickles paved the way for a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people would say to me, like Lenny Bruce, a lot of his stuff maybe doesn't hold up over the years, but you got to remember at the time how relevant it was and how he paved the way. Just the way I paved the way for young people like Carrot Top and Rob Schneider and David Spade.
You must be proud.
And you've paved the way for whoever still listens to radio. I don't know. But anyway, I want to wish you guys a happy holiday season. And I know people don't think of this as the holiday season.
Because it's not a holiday season.
Yeah.
Well, no. See, people always think of Christmas and Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw in Kwanzaa for your five black listeners. They think of that as the holiday season. But okay. If you think about it, we just got through Passover and Easter. Last week, 2 weeks ago, was Hitler's birthday. And that was a big holiday weekend. But not so much here, but on the East Coast. I'm playing a club. A lot of people go to the Jersey Shore for the big Hitler holiday weekend. And now Mother's Day is coming up.
Right.
And of course, March was... I love how they just make up holidays and give Women's History Month, which is, to me, let's give women another reason to complain about and bring up crap from the past that we don't want to hear about. Another great idea. That's just terrific.
This is why
he's
all women love Bobby.
Staring right at me as he says that.
This is why all women love Bobby.
Yeah.
That's why. And like I said, you got Mother's Day coming up, and just a lot of holidays. So it's this is the holiday season as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
Sure, why not?
And but yeah, I haven't seen you guys for, I think the last time I saw you guys was, I had done the TV show for Woody Allen maybe, and
has it been that long?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Oh, and then I was just telling Ralph, about a month later, I get a call from Woody Allen. I was playing a comedy club in Syracuse, the Funny Bone. You know, everybody knows.
Sure.
I mean, I'm playing Oxnard. Well, when you play big places like Oxnard Levity Live and Flappers of Burbank, Syracuse Funny Bone doesn't seem like such a big venue, but it is. It's the biggest comedy club in that area.
Okay.
Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse. Big, big. And so I'm playing there, and I get a call from my manager. Colin Quinn had hurt his leg playing basketball or something with Adam Sandler. And my manager said, Woody Allen wants to know if you can come down this week and be in his new movie. And I said, wait. You're going to tell me cancel the Syracuse Funny Bone to be in a Woody Allen movie? I don't, you know. So I thought about it.
You didn't think about it.
Why?
You didn't even give it a second thought, did you?
No, I said, no, I can't do it. I'm playing Syracuse. No. Anyway, so I went down and I did the film, and it was just I got to sing in the movie. I'm not supposed to be talking about it, but it's already done, so I don't think it can take me out of it, because you have a thing you can never talk about is movies. But I got to sing, so that's a big thrill for that's going to be a big thrill for a lot of
people. So you're saying you can never talk about his movies, but you're talking about his movie, and it's not out yet, and you think he won't edit you out?
Well, the movie's already...
Just clarifying.
I'm not giving away the big... any big scenes.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I got to sing.
Why do you think Woody Allen keeps hiring you, Bobby?
Same reason you guys keep having me on, because people cancel. Probably won't have Colin Quinn on, but he probably hurt some. Probably broke his hip or something.
What did you sing?
You always call me at the last minute. I got a call last night to do this.
What did you sing?
I sang a movie. Well, we're at a party, which is we're having like a little party. And so we're just, you know, drinking and singing kind of thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I'll tell you this off the air, but I did something wrong, and I hope they didn't.
Well, tell us that on the air.
Catch it. What, huh?
You did something wrong?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
Maybe it's a reason to bring me back again.
Okay.
Anyway, can I get a breath for 1 second? You can ask me a question if you want.
Please do. Bobby Slayton, by the way, playing Levity Live in Oxnard. 6 shows this week starting Thursday. That's a new club, 18 and up, Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach on the 12th. And then it looks like your Flappers dates are even after that on the 19th and 20th.
You know, and what's making it really tough for me, I've had to reshape my act over the last year because, you know, when my wife passed away last year, that was 80% of my act.
Yeah,
you know,
it was.
It's a year already. It's been over a year since she'd been gone.
No kidding.
So I've not only is it weird that she's been gone, but about a month or two before my wife passed away, I went to a good friend's funeral, and I had to speak at the funeral. You know, the older you get, the more friends start dying. So I go to a funeral. My wife was with me, and I speak at the funeral, and I got to meet his widow for the first time. And it's weird. I was friends with this guy for many, many, many years. But, you know, I'd see him at the comedy clubs. I'd see him at different functions. But I never met his wife. And I met her at the funeral. I'm with my wife. And she lives about a mile from me. And in L.A., that's like next door neighbors.
Right.
You know, that's people don't realize a mile away. It's amazing. Yeah. So I called her up. I said, you know, we should have a drink. You know, the widow and the widower. And now she's my girlfriend. So
look at
that. What?
Yeah. Yay.
It's weird. Just when I thought I was out.
Really?
They pull me back in.
That's fantastic, Bobby. Is that true?
Yeah, it's really great, but bizarre. And I don't really like to talk about it, so of course I'm talking about it on the air.
That's why you brought it up.
Yeah, I know she's
listening. That's why you forced
now.
It in.
She told me she was going to listen now, which is really stupid because now I'm going to hear about it. But as long as I don't say her name, you know. Because,
what's her name?
Doesn't matter. She's embarrassed to be going out with a washed up old comic playing on screen.
Bobby, I'm so happy to hear that because I feel like a lot of older people, they feel like when their spouse dies, they feel like, well, that was it for me. I had a good run and I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. And I don't think that's good or healthy.
I was looking forward to that. I know that you don't have to say it. Come on, not an older person. Maybe compared to you kids.
He's not 80 or 90.
Right. No, but.
He's in the prime of his life, Bean. Yeah. Let him live.
Right.
I'm only 60, 61. 61. I don't know.
Well, then
remember.
You look terrible, Bobby.
Well, I don't care. I'm like Keith Richards. You know what? It doesn't matter what he looks like. I'm not trying to get. I'm not Tom Cruise who's trying to do his own stunts and do that kind of crap you were talking about earlier. I'm fine.
You're pulling widows from funerals.
Pulling widows, right? Evan.
I mean, that's impressive.
You can look at it the other way. Well, no, actually, I did pursue her. Yes,
right.
But it was only, and I'm not kidding. I say this on my wife's. Well, it's too late now. But I'm saying this on. I just called her up to have a drink. And I thought, because we're neighbors, and I was good friends with her husband, and I didn't know her. And it was only a few months after my wife passed away. I was not looking to date again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was perfectly happy being in my own home. Although it was kind of weird after 30 years of marriage to be in a house by myself because I would never know when the air conditioner was on too high, the TV was too loud. I don't think I've actually farted in 6 months. I don't know because my sinuses, I can't hear, I can't smell. So I don't know. I think I'm okay, but there's nobody there to tell me.
That's right.
So I don't know.
You need that feedback.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had too much garlic, too much wine. I don't know when I'm driving too fast. My life has spun out of control since my wife's passing. But now. And I know she's listening. And I've said nothing bad about her, but I know I'm going to get crap about it.
Sure.
Not at all. Yeah, Bobby, I'm glad things are going so well for her. Look at this, man. New girlfriend, doing all these gigs, got the Woody Allen movie. You're on fire.
But here's my problem. And being a comic, you better have problems. You're not going to be funny. Since I have no more wife, I can't do the wife jokes.
Right.
And I've not been with her long enough to do girlfriend jokes.
Right.
And I can't. We've only been together 4 or 5 months, and she's so afraid I'm going to make fun of her. And I said, look, you're dating a comic. It's like if you're dating Mick Jagger, you know he's going to go out and nail young models. Not because he's cheating, because he's Mick Jagger.
Right.
If you marry a coal miner, you know he's going to get fat, not go to any college reunions, and vote for that idiot Donald Trump. So you know when you marry a coal miner, this is what you're going to get. When you date a comic, you know the guy's going to make fun of you. And I just keep telling her, look, as long as you keep putting out, you keep cooking, you keep rubbing my back, you don't talk too much, you're on the right track. There's no way to make fun of you if you do the things you're supposed to do.
You're an amazing catch.
Yeah.
Amazing catch.
There's
the secret to a successful relationship right there.
It's Dr. Phil when Dr. Bobby's in the house. And I've said this before. If you come to see me at Oxnard, do you know, and I know I've said this on your show before, I cannot get a gig on Valentine's Day. A comedy club will never hire me on Valentine's Day because they think my act. And you guys have known me for a long time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you understand why? Do you agree with
of
that?
Of course.
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Absolutely.
Why do you agree with
that? Because no one has a good date. I mean, it's not romantic going to see Bobby Slade. See, all you do is push people apart.
Here's where you're wrong, Bean. Okay. What happens is, and I've proven this many times, is in all my shows, when women and when couples come to see my show, what happens is the women will leave afterwards, and they'll look at their boyfriends or husbands and go, I thought you were a jackass. And it brings people close together after seeing me.
Bringing people together. Actually.
I was wrong about that.
I am bringing people together. And it's going to be tough this weekend working because there's no wife jokes. There's no girlfriend jokes. And since Pumpkinhead became president, all the people I made fun of, you know, black people, transgender, gay, Muslim, I like them all now. Mexicans, I'm on their side, so I have nobody to attack anymore. I'm not a political comic. I can't attack Pumpkinhead. All the minorities I now like and feel bad for, so I'm screwed. So I got 2 days to write jokes.
It's going to be a very interesting show. Levity Live at Oxnard starting Thursday night, levitylive.com, and then the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club, and then later in the month, Flappers.
Wow.
Hey, it's May Day, Bobby. Thanks for coming in, man. Good to see you.
Did you mention I never mentioned Skechers one time? Every time I come on, I mention my favorite shoes. I never mention them once.
Oh, that's right, because you get free ones.
I'm walking back to Sherman Oaks. I'll tell you over here. I'm walking back. I'm in the Skechers. The best shoes ever. Okay.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. Bye now.
Sound like the worst prize ever.
Sure does.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:25.
Sold out. K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017.
Oh,
you want to win? Yes. Hi, Rodney.
Weenie Roast Yay Fiesta.
That's what you like to call it, right?
All right.
We're going to give away some tickets right now. If you've got a trivia question about any of the acts playing the bill, it's time to play Stump Rodney.
Can you
stop Rodney?
No!
Let's all stop Rodney now!
Yeah, wig wham bam.
Now, Rodney, I know you, you love...
right.
I know you
Faith
love the...
no more.
Right, but here's the thing. You
all
love
right.
the 80s,
I love
right?
love the 80s.
Right. How do you feel about the 90s?
Hate the 90s.
Hate the 90s, right. Okay, but this is about current day bands.
Oh,
okay.
Right. Current day is Godhead.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. So this is the people are on the line with questions about Imagine Dragons and Incubus and Paramore and Dream Car and bands like that. So those are the answers we're going to be looking
Peaches
for. They're going to ask
and Herb?
You, not Peaches and Herb. They're not playing. Those are the kinds of acts they're going to be asking you questions about. So try to pay attention and answer the question they ask. Okay?
Pseudo Echo?
Well, that's the Funky Town guys, and they're not on the bill this year. No.
Funky Town. let's just try.
See if our listeners can stump Rodney for Weenie Roast tickets.
All right, let's go to Corey in Ventura. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Rodney, you ready?
Ready.
All right. From what state is the Calabasas rock band Incubus from?
State.
Making it tough.
Boston.
Oh, no.
All right. What'd I win?
What's the answer, Corey? California. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Well done. All right. Hold on.
Corey is in the drawing to win the Weenie Roast tickets. I'm not sure Boston is a state. I don't know where you might have heard that,
Rodney.
I heard
it on the radio. It was.
All right. Let's go to Marshall, who is calling us from Los Angeles. Hi, Marshall.
Hi. Hey, Kevin and me.
Hi. Stump Rodney.
Rodney, what is Lana Del Rey's real name?
Real name, Sheena Easton. All right, my baby takes the morning train.
Marshall, is it Sheena Easton?
No, it's Elizabeth Grant.
Ring a bell, Rodney?
Nope.
Nope, okay. All right, good.
Obviously. I would have said it.
All right, let's go to Brandon, who's calling from Anaheim.
All
Hi, Brandon.
All right, Brandon.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, Rodney?
Good. How are you?
That's Godhead.
It is Godhead. You're right. Bad rap.
Yeah. Do you have a
okay.
question?
Kevin, we're talking.
Sorry.
You lying?
My bad.
So
how
are things in Anaheim, Brandon?
Good. How are things of wherever you're from?
Good. I'm at K-Rock QFM.
Listen, Brandon, if you want to win Weenie Rose tickets, ask Rodney a question. See if you can stump him with trivia about one of the acts playing the bill.
Okay. Rodney,
yeah.
who is one of the 10 youngest people to win a Grammy who is also on the lineup for Weenie Roast?
Tatum O'Neal.
Oh, so close.
She won an Oscar.
That's good.
It's Lord.
All right.
And Tatum O'Neill's not playing the weenie roast, right, Rodney? You
yet.
Know that.
Okay.
Special guest, maybe. I don't know.
Special guest, Tatum okay. O'Neill.
Okay.
I think we got time for one more. Who do you like?
All right. Let's go to Steve and Azusa. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
All right, Steve.
The band Paramore was formed and originated in what state?
Boston. All right, what'd I win?
You didn't win. What state is it, Steve?
It's Tennessee.
What do you mean?
That's the right answer, Rodney. It is so. Tennessee.
It is.
I'm not sure about
that. No, it is. That's a fact-based answer.
Okay.
Steve is in the drawing. Marshall as well. I think Brandon and Corey are all in the drawing to win tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017. I'm sorry, Rodney. How do you say it?
K-Rock almost Weenie Roast Yay Fiesta.
Close
there
enough.
You go. Only one will win. Who's the winner, please? Ellen McKay.
Steve.
Yeah! Steve. Congratulations, Steve.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
All right, first things first, we understand the rules, and there is no dog in the studio.
Nope.
Well, because animals aren't allowed here at K-Rock.
Right.
Right.
So we wouldn't break that rule.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock for a Monday morning. By the way, quick announcement. Dave Grohl's mom is going to be here on the show in the 8 o'clock hour on Wednesday. How fun is that going to be?
The funnest.
Right? And then tomorrow in the 8 a.m. hour, L.A. Dodgers Andrew Tolles is going to be here with us in studio. We got to do Ask a Dodger, right? That's what we got to do. He was one of the many boys in blue who hit a home run in the sweep over the Phillies this weekend. So he should be feeling good. So that's Andrew Tolles from the Dodgers tomorrow, Virginia Grohl on Wednesday. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, Lightning's new dog joins us in studio. Hey, Light, yeah. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
So you beat up a homeless guy and stole his dog?
No, none of that happened.
Just, that's so that's, mean.
That's not at all what happened.
Lightning guy was down on his luck.
Lightning was our producer for how long, B?
It seems like. Oh, my gosh.
8 years?
Yeah, 15 years, something like that.
4 years?
Well, sure, 4 years.
5 years?
Yep. Or 10 or 15.
Who did you steal the dog from?
No one. So my wife was picking up one of the kids from school about a week ago in the Los Altos area of Long Beach, kind of the Bellflower and Atherton area, for those people who know.
Okay.
And just sitting in her car, and dog goes cruising across the street, and she thinks, oh, you know, the owner will be shortly thereafter, and
right.
No owner, and...
Define cruising with the three legs.
Right. Not really cruising, more hobbling.
Dog.
Yeah, but he moves, though.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate this guy.
Yeah, it's a scooter.
He moves. He does scoot. Yeah. Yeah. And so she just waits and waits, and no owner. And she walks over to the dog, and he's friendly, wagging his tail, and puts him in his car, and he jumps right in and take him home and go on Facebook and go on Next Door Neighbor and Paw Boost and SPCA and
you put a bunch of messages like, if you lost your dog, sorry, sucker.
No, not so much. Now, so in the course of putting up flyers around the block and asking every single neighbor we can find, my 11-year-old falls in love with the dog. Mm-hmm. He's sleeping with it, you know, at night and cuddling up and stuff. And so, like, I can't believe how many three-legged dogs there are. People's like, oh, there's a three-legged dog. Two blocks down.
Right.
They're like, oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay, this is the family. So we go down to that block. We knock on the door. Like, no, that's not our three-legged dog. Ours is white. Okay, what? I'm in the southern area yesterday. I'm posting. Yesterday was all flyers all day from like 10 a.m. to like 7 p.m. Just
you
posting
have a lot
flyers
more energy
everywhere.
For that than I would, I think. I mean, I would try. I would try to find the owner.
Yeah.
But,
you,
not,
you
but not very hard.
Not very hard.
You checked to see if the dog was chipped. That was
yes.
One of the first things
first
he did.
Thing she did is took okay. Him to the vet. And no chip, no collar, no nothing.
Did you check in with animal control or check in with what they call the pound? Did you go there to see if maybe someone was looking for the dog there?
Yes, and posted flyers at the pound and at the shelter and at the vets and everywhere. So
you've done all the right things.
Yeah, you've done your due diligence, my friend.
It's so weird. Like, how does a person this dog is well-groomed. Mm-hmm. His teeth are in good shape. The nails are clipped.
Yeah,
like,
taken care of.
And loves
people.
So he
wasn't a stray, clearly. He's somebody's pet.
So who's not posting their own flyers? Who's not on the message boards? Who's not going to the pound and seeing the flyer that we posted? I went to Starbucks and posted it. You're like, come on. So
are you shaming the owner?
Yes.
Is that why we're on right now? Is why aren't you trying harder to get your dog back?
Yes. I mean, if this,
how long are you going to try before it's your dog?
That was my question for you, and that's why I'm here.
Because I remember when you were our producer, you told us that your parents put your dog down without your knowing it, and then we gave you the nickname No Dog.
Yes,
for a
that
long
happened.
Time we called you No Dog.
Yes, and my mother cried. By the way, that was you guys were super dicks back then.
Wait, she cried that when we were talking.
You had her on the air.
No Dog.
Yes,
she killed your dog and didn't tell you.
Yes, I know.
How are we the dicks in that situation?
Tactful ways of handling
it.
You outed her on the air. Yeah, that was bad. Let's not talk about this.
All right, but I'm saying, is this some kind of karmic payback?
I mean, I don't know. I hope not.
Is this the world saying, hey, you know what? You don't get a full dog, but we'll give you 3/4.
What an asshole.
So let me ask you this. What's the question here? Because clearly you have gone well above and beyond any reasonable expectation of trying to find the dog's owner. If they don't know about it, it's on them at this point. So the question is if you, in good conscience, can just claim this dog as your own and keep the dog?
Yeah. Yes. So what's etiquette for something like this? Because how long do I wait? Because I don't know.
My answer to you on that is you've done much more than I would have.
It's your dog if you want it.
But you mentioned to me something that I thought was interesting, and that's that you thought maybe it was the pet of somebody homeless.
Well, that did come up.
You asked if you found out that was true. So, do you give the dog back?
So, yeah, that was a debate inside the family.
Said, no.
No, my mom is not part of this equation here. Now, that is something that we heard, is that there was a couple of homeless people sighted around Long Beach with a three-legged dog. Mm-hmm. And so we had that debate, like, do you give a dog back to a potentially homeless person? And the answer we found in our family is yes.
Absolutely.
We would definitely do that because we don't know their circumstance. Clearly, the dog is well taken care of.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe better than the person who owns it.
Sure.
So I think the answer is yes, and you don't know if the person relies on this dog. Like, there could be a million reasons, so... Based on the health of the dog, the answer is absolutely yes.
That's a very generous conclusion to come to, because I think a lot of people would assume, hey, this dog would be happier living in a house, sleeping in a bed with a kid at night, rather than being potentially out
Facebook,
on the streets.
Yeah, being Facebook was all about, no, the homeless guy doesn't get his dog back. Like he didn't have a collar, he didn't have a leash, he didn't have
legitimate too, by the way. This dog clearly they didn't take steps to prevent this dog from getting out and getting lost.
But for me, the emotional connection between a dog and his owner is more important. That kind of trumps like you screwing up and not having a collar. So I think unless this guy was a total D-bag, like, he gets his dog back.
Well, Raul at Kevin and Bean's Twitter brought up something I didn't even think about, which I can't believe I didn't, because it's that dark. He said, maybe the dog's owner is dead in their house.
I mean...
Oh, my God,
there's a
Raul.
Lot of oldie oldsters in the area.
It's
possible.
I mean, look, it's an option.
That went south so fast!
Wow. We posted a photo. Christine posted photos on all your socials.
Right.
Okay.
Facebook and Insta and the whole thing. And, like, I don't know. Like, at a certain point, someone lives next to the former owner of this. Someone's got to.
Sure.
Like,
all right. What's the neighborhood again where you think the dog lives?
The Los Altos area of Long Beach. So the major crossroads were Bellflower and Atherton. Somewhere between Atherton and Stern. Somewhere.
Now, if no one comes forward, if this isn't somebody's dog that we're able
then we'll
to reach,
take caller 20. 1-800.
No.
Or
somebody that you're able to reach with all of your efforts. You're fine to have a dog, though. You're fine to keep the dog and make the dog your own. Right?
Dude, this will be the third. And they all get along. So we're cool with that.
Yeah. Call now. 1-800.
I don't know.
1067.
We're not giving the dog away. We're not giving
Caller
the dog away.
Caller 20 right now.
Nope.
Light, you're good man.
Not
you did,
doing that.
You did everything you could, man. Keep us posted, all right?
I appreciate it.
Don't keep us posted, though. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Kevin Amin's hip-hop correspondent and beef correspondent, multi-hyphenate Jensen Karp, joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Got to be nice to Jensen today. You know, he's a big Clippers fan.
Yeah.
He's suffering this morning.
Yeah.
So
that's what you're known for, is being nice in that situation.
Let's also see if there's a new Z-Dog rap that we can drop while he's here, too. So that's coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Speaking of hotly contested sports rivalries, Kevin, very exciting Philadelphia Union Los Angeles Galaxy game over the weekend. You know, I can see now why you love soccer, because when a game ends 0-0 and then that's the end of it, boy, that's just sports nirvana right there. That's the biggest joy you can get in a sporting event. I mean, watching them battle to a 0-0 tie.
and everyone goes the freak home. F soccer right in the ear.
I'm not sure how to do that.
Well, but you'll find a way.
That sounds awful.
It's I mean, it wasn't ideal.
It's the worst sport.
It wasn't
sport
the best.
Ever, really.
It's not the worst sport ever.
But everybody plays it all over the world. Oh, worst? It's so popular around the world. That's because it can be played with a severed human head. That's why. Because that's the only piece of equipment you need to play that game. That's why they like it in your little rundown 12th world nations. Bite it, soccer. Ugh. Unbelievable.
Pretty tense, Ralph.
At least the Phillies got swept by the Dodgers, though, Ralph. You had that to look forward to.
Well, you know what a huge baseball fan I am, being, so that's a good burn. That hurts.
Are you more of a soccer fan than a baseball fan?
No, I'm a fan of games that don't end 0-0.
Yeah, I'm not a big
that's
fan
what I'm
of
a
0-0
fan of.
Tie as well.
That's what I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to insist that you learn something about baseball.
It's a Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Starting with The Fate of the Furious, $19.4 million. Made it number one at the box office. How to Be a Latin Lover came in at number two. Then Bahubali 2, The Conclusion. I told you last week, Bahubali 2 was going to be a big, big hit this weekend.
You didn't say anything about it.
I've never stopped talking about Bahubali, first of all.
We do the movie
the
beat on Fridays.
One, and I told you how much I was looking forward to Bahubali 2, The Conclusion.
I don't remember.
Because it's all about
that.
People who write obituaries in an Indian newspaper. And I was very excited about that film. I remember talking about it a lot.
No, that's not that film.
Yeah, Bahubali 2 is an Indian film that only opened, I believe, in 400 screens or so in the United States. And it was a smash hit. Making $10 million this weekend. Good enough to be number three. Worldwide this weekend, I think it made, I don't know, almost $100 million.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of Indians, you guys.
That was Beans!
Fun fact.
Circle debuted with $9.3 million. Number four, then The Boss Baby at number five. Beauty and the Beast, sixth. Going in Style, Smurfs, The Lost Village, Gifted and Unforgettable. We're your top 10 movies at the box office. A lot of music news. You know, Prince. You're familiar with a guy named Prince, right?
Yes, sure.
He had an album and a film. It was a very successful little adventure for him called Purple Rain. And they are now re-releasing Purple Rain in a big bad way. They're going to remix it and remaster it. A 2-CD deluxe set will have his official remaster from the original master tapes, and there's going to be a second disc featuring 11 previously unreleased tracks, including Electric Intercourse, which, if you're a Prince fan at all, you know he played it live on every show during the Purple Rain tour, but never released a studio version. So finally, Prince fans can get to hear their beloved Electric Intercourse on this new version of Purple Rain. If you're not familiar with the song, Here's a little sample, and maybe now you know why they never released it as a recording. It sounds like a parody of a Prince song.
It does, sort of.
It sounds like Dave Chappelle doing Prince.
Still Prince, though.
Yeah, but it's not good.
I don't know.
The best artist, in my opinion, this side of the United States of America,
right?
Possibly the world.
Right.
And this is nice. Chuck Berry is releasing his final album. His first in 38 years, by the way. What odd timing to make your most recent album in 38 years. He finished it just before he passed away. It'll be out on June 9th. He wrote all of the tunes for it, and the first single, a song called Wonderful Woman, debuted Friday on the website for the New Yorker magazine. He was 90 years old, keep in mind, when he recorded this album. And here it is, the first track off his final album, Chuck, that'll be available on June 9th. Here's a song called Wonderful Woman.
I don't think that's it. Man, she's so beautiful.
Well,
Do you think it'll be on the streaming site?
I'm sure it will.
I like that song very much, but you can't accuse Chuck Berry of changing his songwriting style over 60 years, can you?
Sounds like a Chuck Berry song.
It sure does.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on May 1st. Tim McGraw, 50 years old today. Director Wes Anderson is 48. Julie Benz turns 45. And Jamie Dornan is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He is the owner of Gallery 1988. He is an author. He is a podcaster, a writer, a producer. Kevin and Bean's hip-hop correspondent and beef correspondent as well. He is our friend Jensen Karp.
Hey.
And I got to say, we always love having you on. There's always so much to talk to you about. But
yes,
we have to start with, when are you going to respond to Z-Dog? Because I feel like he's almost coming at you personally.
Oh, no.
With his Utah Jazz versus Clippers.
Well, as the beef correspondent, I feel like these are the things that I have to face. And
right,
as a Clipper fan, there's really nowhere I can go. This is like if, you know, like I assume this is like when a rapper retires and then a guy gets him, try to get him back onto the court. And then you're like, no, I'm 37 years old. I have a gray beard. I'm not jumping back into the mix, guys. It's not for me anymore. But I mean, yes, I know I'm having a bad day, guys.
I texted Jensen to see if he had heard it, this particular rap, and he texted me back, I think before I hit send,
yeah,
seen it.
Because everyone sent it to me. It was one of those things where everyone's like, well, it looks like you're going to lose this series. I was like, listen, we're jinxed way beyond this terrible rapper.
Yeah.
We at a certain point, Charlie Brown realizes the football's being pulled. You know what I mean? It's just years and years and years later, not to make sports metaphors, but.
So, Jensen, the talk has been, I know we have a lot of your business to talk about.
Yes, I have business.
Since you're such a big Clipper fan and have been your whole life, I have to ask, those analysts who say this was our last best chance with this lineup, it's time to break the whole thing up.
Blow it up.
Start over. You're with them.
Yeah, you got to. At a certain point, I mean, it's just like, that's it, man. Call it a day. When you have a big three, which we had, and technically kind of like a big three and a half, if you consider J.J. Redick, that wasn't a penis joke. But what I'm saying is, like, I think the best thing to do is just maybe get a new GM, which means possibly get a new coach. And just
really?
It's just not – there's something wrong, and the core isn't necessarily working. And
you
gotta
don't
move
think
on.
That the GM and coach could stay and the team could get blown up?
I don't –
because it's hard to get a great coach in the NBA, and he is one.
I'm not Petros, but I could get very sportsy here. The point is there's so many free agents we've ruined over the years, from Big Baby Davis to Joe Inglis, who just scored over and over again on us at Utah. We cut him. You know, there's just been decisions that have been made that are just wrong. Paul Pierce, we get him the 2 years, he can't play basketball. Just things that can't, like, you can't kind of consider good moves.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Were you optimistic going into this postseason, or did you expect this was going to be the outcome?
Bean, I'm always optimistic about the Clippers. That's what you do as a Clipper fan. At the beginning of the year, you go, this is our year, and then you just slowly I think it's easier to be a Clippers fan if your parents are divorced. That's what I'm saying. It's easier
for you for that kind of heartbreak?
Yes. If you have felt trauma before, this is your team. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's
so
sad.
For the Clippers, it hasn't always looked good, even on paper.
No.
For the Clippers, for many, many years, they're on paper. But this team looks good on paper.
And I was a fan when we had Ron Harper and Danny Manning and then Matt Fish.
No one was a fan
and
then.
Keith Kloss and names that make my hair stand up even a decade later. But this, this is the kind of optimism that I'm used to having, and then it falls apart.
See, hope hurts.
Hope does hurt.
They give you just a much. And by the way, we got down. It was by. I was at the game, and we got within 9 points, and that was perfect Clipper basketball. Make me feel happy for a second, and then remind me.
And then
life is garbage. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but the new mantra of the Kevin and Bean Show is something that a very wise man imparted unto us recently, Jensen.
Okay.
And that is that quitters never give up.
I mean, that's probably true.
And that's what you have to keep in mind. That was quite a misspeak.
I did say that.
Yeah, it was quite a misspeak.
And I didn't even notice it.
Well, today Donald Trump did say that Andrew Jackson could have helped the Civil War, despite the fact that he died 16 years before. So maybe you're in good company.
I don't want to be.
Well,
all right, let's.
You're the electoral pick of the show. Bean will be the popular pick.
Let's take care of the business here, because this will lead us into why Jensen is speaking at Oxford, and that is that Jensen, among many other things, and I introduce you as a multi-hyphenate, which is not a word I use very often, but among other things, he has written a best-selling book called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from the white rapper who almost made it big. And it's a great book, and we brought you on last year to talk about it. Now is a big week for you because the book is being re-released in paperback.
Yes, tomorrow it comes out in paperback. You get it for like $12 or something on Amazon, and we added a chapter at the end, so I have a new chapter and then two new lists. One of the lists is the 20 most essential albums that influenced me through hip-hop, so you can see that.
Cool.
And then the other list is my mother chose
10 actresses she believes can play her in a TV or movie based on this book.
Your mother's magic.
And she's magical. Oh. She picks, I mean, I don't want to spoil. I'll give you one of the 10. She picks Natalie Portman, but doesn't explain how age will play into it. Like, doesn't explain the age dynamic or anything. But yeah, I had her pick her 10 favorites, and there's some good picks in there. But yeah, so it's like, you know, it's the cheap version. Flimsy, affordable, you know.
Is there an update on whether you ever heard from Kanye about this $300 that you so publicly called him on?
That's the new chapter. The new chapter is called Does Kanye Know This Book Exists? And you get the answer, and it's a shocking answer, I think. I think it's a very weird story. So, again, Kanye and I never have something where we just shake hands in a room. Yeah. It's always something very weird, and this one lives up to the hype.
All right, speaking of Kanye,
yes,
you're going to Oxford. You're getting on a plane and going to England this week. Tomorrow, right?
It's so insane. I've been asked to speak at Oxford University, the real one, not like how Phoenix University has one in every city.
Right.
This is the real one in England, in London, right an hour out of London. And I'm talking in a program that in the past has had Mother Teresa and Malcolm X and Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, so when they pitched it,
yeah.
Did you say...
What? I was like, is there another Jensen Karp? Yeah,
yeah,
I was sort of shocked. It's a debate. So basically they do these pop culture debates. And my debate is Kanye West more relevant than Shakespeare? So I'll be speaking on behalf of Kanye West against a student. And like this week they had Khan, you know, the Gold Star father. He spoke this week. It's a crazy program, and I'm thrilled to be part of it. It's nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. And now and it's crazy because you have all those people, and then me, who has a song with Mark McGrath in 2000. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't fit in line, but I'm going to go out there and mostly it's kind of a jokey thing because, like, how do you debate that? But I'm excited for it.
Well, wow. I mean, I think there's a big picture and then a of the moment answer.
Yeah,
the
well,
big picture is that Shakespeare exists in 1,000 years. Yeah. I don't know if Kanye West does, but for now, certainly Kanye is more listened to and more
Absolutely.
Relevant and more current and more on students' minds,
yeah.
I would think.
And listen, I wish Toni Morrison and Dave Eggers were the people that I think will represent the year 2017. They're not. It's the selfie generation. This is a Facebook, Instagram likes. This is, and there's no person in the universe that reflects that time more than Kanye West.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm sad we haven't heard much from Kanye lately. What's that about, Jason?
I think it's mental illness, Bean. I think that, by the way, I think he's probably working on music, but also mostly working on medication. I think probably one of those two things. Yeah,
fair enough. Our guest is Jensen Karp, in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick break. We're going to talk about, among other things, when we return, we're going to talk about the Drop the Mic, the battle rap show that you're a part of with James Corden, which
is
awesome.
It's beef season, baby.
It is beef season. We'll be right back with Jensen on camera. Catching up with our friend Jensen Karp in studio. He is on Twitter at JensenClan88, by the way.
It's with Jensen, a C because I'm not racist.
That's right. Yeah. JensenKarp.com for the podcast, including the one he does with his mom and so much more. And as we mentioned, the new book, a new paperback version of his book, Kanye West Owes Me $300, is out in retailers and online starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask because, you know, we love your gallery, 1988.
Yes.
I have, as you know, a bunch of stuff on the walls at my house from your gallery over the years. Mm-hmm. The picture you tweeted of a bunch of the Veep people in the gallery last week.
Yeah.
How unbelievable was that?
It was crazy. We did a collaboration with HBO to premiere Veep, the new season, and we did it because we have like a marketing company at the gallery, but we say no to so many different shows because we have to like it. We can't just like take on 2.5 Men. You know what I mean? Like, we have to like actually like the show. And so we ended up doing this kind of promotional thing where artists do pieces based on Veep, and then little did we know the entire cast would show up for the opening night.
Really? So, that was a surprise.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we knew they were invited, but that doesn't mean anything in L.A.
Right.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus isn't going to come up to, you know, an art gallery. That doesn't sound like it's happening.
Do you get Tony starstruck Hale still, Jensen?
At times. I think there's certain people, you know, I work on the James Corden show for a specific bit called Drop the Mic that I had created for them, which is where they celebrity rap battle. And
which is always great.
Thanks. Yeah. And like that's really hardened me. That's made me more jaded because I only have like an hour with the celebrity. So I can't say, you know, like, oh my God, it's Kevin Hart. Like, I have to immediately start teaching him how to rap.
Right.
So I think the way I'm getting to meet these people is now very work-based, so I can't be like Chris Farley and be like, you remember when that was awesome? Like,
I'm sorry. At this point, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a goddamn national treasure.
She is. She's like an American hero.
Yeah.
And she walks in, and I feel like I can't even look at her.
I know.
I mean?
She is one of those people.
That's
she
awesome.
Is. One of those get away from me's. This is too big.
All right, so let's talk about Drop the Mic.
Yes.
You've done how many on the Corden late night show?
I think we've done like 7. think we've done about seven. We've done Usain Bolt, Kevin Hart, Anne Hathaway, David Schwimmer. We did Dave Franco. We did Carl DeLevine. It seems about right.
How many people do you pitch? Because I imagine a lot of people turn it down.
Oh, there are a lot of pitches.
Right?
Yeah. No, I think everyone who's a big star gets pitched, drop the mic. And and for people who haven't seen it, you can see it on YouTube. We hit every insecurity you've ever had.
Right.
We are very, very mean. We do not hold back. It's the same as when I was 15 years old as a rap champion, a battle champion here in LA. Like, I don't hold back. It's the same stuff I would have wrote then. So, like, you got to find a certain person who likes it and digs it. And now it's going to be its own TV show on TBS at the end of the year. So we're really ready for
Rap Battle.
By Method Man.
Come on,
Method Man is the host. The co-host is my other favorite rapper, Haley Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
She's another icon in the rap industry. But they're both incredible. And a friend of ours, DJ Newmark, is the music.
Love.
So,
if you don't know Mark Newmark, look him up. Jurassic 5. He's
incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, Jensen, I would imagine that you encounter a lot of celebrities who love hip-hop and want to do it.
Yes.
But it's way harder than they think it is.
It is. It's very difficult. There are certain people that we have on the show. I mean, a couple of them. We have a battle that I'm very excited about, which is not, you know, there's going to be ones with huge celebrities. Those happen.
Right.
But the one that we kind of announced was that Rascal Flatts goes up against Boyz II Men.
Come on.
In a rap battle.
And
it'll be on TBS at the end of the year. And that kind of thing, you don't know who's going to be good. Like, you kind of think Rascal Flatts is going to be awful. And then the drummer comes out and he's ill. He, like, spits. And, like, I'm like, what's going on? Like, how do you do this? And he's like, I don't know. I rapped when I was a kid. And I was like, what? Why? How? Why does this happen? Or, like, Sean, who's in Boyz II Men, like, he comes out and he could have rapped in the 90s. Like, he's just good. So you live and learn. Like, you kind of figure out who these people are. And like, I heard he's not on the show. So this is me putting the secret out there.
Okay.
But I had a taxi driver once in Vegas who told me he grew up on the East Coast and that Jon Favreau, the movie director, was the best rapper his city's ever seen.
What?
So, like, you learn, or Scott Kahn used to be in a rap group called, you know, the Hooligans in the 80s and 90s. So, like, you live and learn. These people were in rap groups, and I'm just trying to pull them out. You know, I'm trying to get them out there. Yeah.
Well, we need Jon Favreau rapping.
I know.
We definitely do. Have you had any old people say yes to the show? Is there going to be, like, a Helen Mirren episode or something like that?
Number one, I will clearly write the Helen Mirren diss. That's very easy for me. No one in the old bracket has come on yet.
Okay.
I need that demographic. I'll take Betty White. I'll take Mel Brooks. I assume we have to wheel them onto stage, but I'm down.
You're willing.
Yeah. Somebody right at the end, like 3 weeks ago, we were pitching people for the next 10, and someone went, you know who'd be good? Don Rickles. And I go, I got news for you. I don't know if he'd be so good for our show anymore.
When is Drop the Mic going to hit TBS?
Around the end of the year, around October.
End of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing from me, Jensen, since we always have so much ground to cover. We do. We just had Coachella.
Yes.
Kendrick Lamar. Kevin, you did not get to see him the weekend you went, right?
I didn't.
I want to ask you a couple of things about Kendrick. First of all, is this new album just great, or is it an all-timer?
It's an all-timer. It's a great record, and not only that, like, hip-hop, as a story and as you know, it's hard to do three in a row. It's very difficult to have three albums in a row.
I think that's true of any form of music.
Yeah, but hip-hop, for some reason, they fall off harder.
Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, with the Beatles, you don't see as much of a fall-off as you did for, say, Nas for a second. He's back, kind of, in a way. But you see, three in a row is just a hard string. Run the Jewels is an important group out right now who did three in a row that's really good, too.
Right.
But it's just not easy to do. And Kendrick has not only done that, he's gotten better. And that's just so rare in hip-hop. And this album really crosses genres and boundaries. And he's just getting better. And that's hard to do when you're already kind of the best working right now.
I feel like this latest album from Kendrick, I listen to the song once and I go, okay, I'm not sure I like it. Then I listen to it again and I go, now I'm starting to really get into it.
And that's really a throwback to Dre more than anyone, because back in the day when you had The Chronic or these things, you liked it the first time, but then you started to hear drums on drums and other pieces and elements, and you start to look forward to those weird breaks that at one time were startling. And that record is just really good. I mean, you know, it's hard to be a white hip-hop critic and say you don't like Kendrick right now, but that's for a reason. It's just a great album and it works across the board.
Yep. And he really seems like a guy who has something to say that's important and worth listening
clearly,
to.
Clearly, yeah. And I was at Coachella the second weekend, so I got to see him perform. And I've seen him before and was never as impressed as I was. His breath control is almost like a mutant. And it was hard to enjoy. It was hard to enjoy Coachella for me, too, because someone stole my three-legged dog. And so I was there all weekend just waiting, looking at my phone and calling friends.
I hope you find him. I know,
calling the vet and all those things.
We don't know anything. We haven't heard anything about that.
It was very difficult.
It worked out for you.
You know,
But I was able to sort of put that in the back of my mind and watch Kendrick, and I loved it.
I didn't get a chance to watch Kendrick there, but when I went to the Grammys,
yes.
he stood head and shoulders above everybody else.
That's
I thought
right.
he killed at
yeah,
the Grammys.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, and I got to see the Grammys this year, which I was very happy about, and that was how I felt about Tribe. Same thing.
Yes.
Oh,
it was
just,
you
know,
they've been, it's just been a good couple of years for hip hop, and I'm really excited to be such a fan. And Kendrick, and there's a new DJ Quick album this week that came out with Problem that's really good called Rosecrans. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. You just have to sort of, get all throughout your iTunes or whatever, however you listen to music.
The book is called Kanye West.
Yes.
It owes me $300 and other true stories from a white rapper who almost made it big. Jensen has a fantastic backstory. It is a very entertaining read with lots of people intersecting with his life that you would never expect.
I read it.
Yes, you did.
I read the book.
I know, you hate books.
And reading is for losers.
Yeah, reading is
Kevin
for losers.
Kevin has read two books in his adult life and yours is one of them.
The other one, coincidentally, Of Mice and Men. He just he's a classic or me. That's it.
He calls everyone George.
Available in paperback at all book retailers. Killers and online starting tomorrow. Hey, have fun in England at Oxford,
by the way. Guys, I'm going to blow it and say something real offensive.
Will they tape that? Will they put that up online?
They do something. They have like a YouTube channel, so I hope it's good enough to get up there.
All right, man. Safe travels. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys.
Keep on listening for more chances to win your tickets to the sold out K-Rock Weenie Broasty Fiesta 2017 happening in less than 3 weeks, Saturday, May 20th at the StubHub Center with Lorde and Incubus, Imagine Dragons, Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, and Dream Card. Did I mention it was sold out, by the way?
Yes.
And thank you to everybody who bought their tickets when they went on sale. Speaking of shows, this Fyre Festival, I mean, we can't be surprised the lawsuits are now being filed, right?
No.
I've never seen such a huge disaster.
I haven't either. Look, there have been a lot of festivals that haven't gone great. This one was a disaster well before the opening day of the show. As we were talking about with Harvey Levin on TMZ.com, they had to know ahead of time that they weren't ready for the people to fly to the Bahamas to see these acts, right? They had to know the tents weren't ready, the accommodations weren't ready, the food wasn't ready. And they still continue to promote it and still continue to sell tickets to the thing. It's a disaster.
For up to $12,000.
Yeah. Ja Rule and Billy McFarland are the co-creators of the Fyre Festival in Bahamas. And the first of what will probably be many lawsuits from people who bought tickets and then realized none of that was happening has been filed as of this morning. A $100 million class action lawsuit has been filed on behalf of a client in California. So I'm sure that they'll say that there's another side to the story, that the press has misrepresented how bad the conditions were in the Bahamas. So we asked Dave if we could talk to somebody, and believe it or not, Billy McFarland, co-organizer of the Fyre Festival along with Ja Rule, has agreed to come on the air with us to tell his side of the story. How are you, Mr. McFarland?
No, that's Bobby. That's Bobby McFerrin. You're Billy McFarland.
What?
Billy?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, we're calling about the Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
That was a mess.
I got tickets for cheap if you want them.
You know, it's been canceled. The show's not happening anymore.
Or is it?
Well, we understood it was canceled. You were going to refund everybody's money.
Or am I?
But wasn't it this past weekend?
Or was it?
So what went wrong?
It's not our fault. Me and Ja Rule really are just trying to put things together and have everybody have a good time. That was our plan.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a certain amount of infrastructure planning needs to be done. I mean,
right. Now we know that.
Right. Well, don't you think you should have hired people that knew that ahead of time?
We did. We did. We hired a guy named Alan.
Okay.
All right.
And he was supposed to. Can we pull out those domes?
What's happening there?
We're just clearing out it. We're on the beach now. We're just kind of putting everything in a box. And,
I see.
Next year, we're going to come back bigger than ever.
Well, I mean,
Alan says it's going to be amazing.
Okay, maybe don't trust Alan next year. Maybe get some professionals.
You don't know. Alan's the best. We love Alan.
Yeah, but he didn't have any idea how to put on a con. I mean, look, when you've got thousands of people coming in, you need infrastructure. You need places for them to go to the bathroom. You need places for them to sit, places for them to eat.
Well, maybe you shouldn't do it in the Bahamas, then. That's the case.
Maybe you shouldn't do it in the Bahamas.
But we thought Tommy Bahamas. That's what we thought initially.
You were
how is that better?
We're thinking of maybe that Tommy Bahama would help us out with the festival.
Okay.
And Alan just heard Bahamas, and that's why we did it here on this island. So We got it. It's just a communication thing. We'll work it out. It's going to be fine.
Your business partner, Ja Rule, put out a statement that he said, I truly apologize, but this is not my fault.
Right. And it's Alan's.
Alan's fault, yeah.
Yes.
Alan who?
Alan Cam Pepper.
All right.
Alan Cam Pepper. Yeah. Camper.
So you're saying it's all his fault and you're going to use him again next year?
Well, look, second chance. This country was built on second chances.
Uh-huh.
And by this country, I mean the Bahamas, where I am right now.
Right, the Bahamas, right.
They're big on second chances because their first chances almost are always awful.
I just feel like if somebody's paying, in some cases, $100,000 for a luxury package that includes airfare and hotel and VIP treatment at the show, I feel like you should know ahead of time whether you can provide that level of quality.
You could get in a geodesic dome.
I mean, it looked like a FEMA tent.
It was a geodesic dome.
Okay.
But technically a FEMA tent.
We had food.
It was cheese on two slices of bread.
Yeah, cheese sandwiches. That's not a gourmet meal.
You don't even know what kind of bread it was.
It looked like Wonder Bread.
It was not. Oh. It was artisanal bread made from the conch shells of the people who live here. The cheese was specially flown in from New Cheeseland.
New Cheeseland.
Yes.
You're just making stuff up, Billy.
I am not.
That's not you. That's not you.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Do you think the judge will accept that as an argument?
Yeah, what's this we're suing? We're going to pay everybody back. Everybody's going to get their money. What's everybody so angry about?
Well, I think the complete failure and the complete disaster that was the Fyre Festival.
But where's the victim?
All of the people that paid all of the money.
Besides them.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. And I understand you come today bearing gifts, Ralph.
Yeah, I've got VIP passes to the K-Rock Super Games and Brew Fest Especial 2.
Yeah! Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
The sequel to the wildly popular K-Rock Super Games and Brew Fest Especial there at the Santa Anita Racetrack.
That looks like a lot of fun.
Arcadia, California. Yeah, it is a good time. It's got giant beer pong and a dunk tank with beer mug. Chip, you getting into the dunk tank this weekend?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Not with mugs, though.
And you're not going down together, the two of you?
No.
No?
That's the tiniest little splash ever.
Blink. May not be enough weight. Even if you hit the bullseye, maybe the arm doesn't go down.
But I plan to heckle everyone throwing the ball.
Okay. Nice. All right, good.
Inflatable obstacle courses, bouncy houses for grown-ups, all while you're just boozing it up. What could go wrong, right? Ask that guy who's toddling around. Ask him. May 6th. Saturday, May 6th. This Saturday, gates open at 11 a.m. The Santa Anita Infield. And you get to watch and bet on the pony races, including the Kentucky Derby, which is also this weekend. Live horse racing all day long. Music by Jeremiah Redd. Admission's only $5 or $25 if you want the VIP treatment. And that's what I'm giving away right now. 4-pack of VIP passes to the K-Rock Super Games in Brewfest Especial. That means you get drink tickets and a trucker hat, goddammit, and access to the VIP area. Why don't you give us a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 6. Since it's going to happen on May 6th, caller number 6 will get a 4-pack of these VIP passes. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. On Mondays, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, and today is no different. No surprise here. Fast and the Furious franchise is a monster, and they continue to hold the number one slot this weekend as well. The Fate of the Furious, the one at the box office.
And they've already announced two more movies still to come.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Right? Sure.
Jeez, $500 million since its release worldwide. Can't go wrong there. $19.4 million made it number one this weekend. How to Be a Latin Lover was second. Bahubali 2, The Conclusion.
What?
I've been just dying to know how Bahubali ended. Now we know with The Conclusion that opened up this weekend. $10 million. The Circle and The Boss Baby were the top five films. Beauty and the Beast, Going in Style, Smurfs, The Lost Village, Gifted and Unforgettable were your top 10 films. Kelly Ripa's got a new partner. It was announced this morning on her show live that Ryan Seacrest will join her as the co-host of that television program.
I'm very disappointed in that choice, you guys.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Because, look, Ryan, as we have discussed...
You said because, really, Kevin? You opened that door?
That's my bad.
What's wrong with you?
We have... Because it's not an upgrade for the show. That's why I'm disappointed. Because Ryan is a very competent broadcaster, and he's able to keep the pieces moving. But he doesn't bring any kind of humor or personality or insight to any project that he's associated with.
I'm okay with that, as I've never watched Live with
Kelly. Yeah. Here's the point. It's live. It's just that show that nobody watches.
Right, but
unless
I mean,
you're 70 or you have no legs.
It could have been better.
Why not
though?
Both?
It could have been good. I'm just saying, look, we can't go back to the glory days of Regis Philbin. He was the king. But I'm just saying that was a show worth watching. This one isn't.
You have a lot of thoughts on...
We're burning so much time on this.
It's a big showbiz story.
You know why?
Ryan,
you said because...
I know, that's on me.
It was a coveted broadcast
Ralph,
job.
Right.
There's been a
it's
lot of interest.
Mentioned at best.
That's, look, that's if, my bad. Had they given it to Andy Cohen, that's better
said
show.
Andy Cohen's going to be the co-host.
Had they given it to Anderson Cooper,
that's
better
my bad.
Show.
Sorry about that, everybody.
We just would have been a mention, which is what it should have been.
I don't like it.
It's live. Who
Noted.
Cares?
Noted.
I don't like it.
Noted.
I'm just saying.
Who notes things? No one knows things.
It's noted. Who's our noter?
Not it.
Who's the noter?
I noted it.
Okay.
We didn't need a noter.
Why do some people tune out?
Can we get a notary?
I don't think
a
it's
a notary
the same.
Public?
Not the same.
You know, as a kid, I used to think it was the Noter Republic. I thought people came from a country called Noter. Oh. From the Noter Republic.
Okay.
But it's a notary public.
Wrong. Oh.
Two different words.
Huh.
Who could have guessed?
Who could have guessed?
And I heard you guys talking to that guy who organized that fire festival there in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
That did not turn out well.
No, it did not.
In the light of that disaster, Seth Rogen and Lonely Island have announced they are working on a movie about a big high-profile music festival that falls apart disastrously.
I love it.
Didn't take them long to move on that. So they have jumped on the weekend's disaster and currently working on a script.
Love it.
But those guys, you know, the music will be funny, and Rogan will smoke a lot of dope. And that'll happen. So you got that. Did you see over the weekend the reunion of the Godfather cast?
I did. I watched a lot of that from Tribeca. They put the video up of the Q&A. It was real good.
Al Pacino, Robert Duvall, James Caan, Diane Keaton, Talia Shire, and Robert De Niro. Did I mention him already? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't think so. I think you started with Robert De Niro.
That's impressive.
They were all together for the 45th anniversary screening of The Godfather, even though De Niro was in the second one. Not so much the first one. But they let him in anyway. Because, you know, he's old. He's got nothing better to do. Did you see him on Snapchat, by the way?
No.
From the Tribeca Film Festival? He was on Snapchat for the first time. Find the video online. Yeah, go on YouTube. Find the video of him on Robert De Niro Snapchat. And you can see him being a panda. And like a puppy dog, he's got his tongue hanging out. He's going through all the filters.
Okay, great.
And it'll make you the saddest person you've ever been watching that. Yeah, it's not funny. It's tragic.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right?
It's Ralph, tragic. Did you, it's like I watching being... your grandfather put on a dress.
He was having a good time.
No one was having... Nobody enjoyed it, least of all him. They put a crown, like flower crown on his head, and
yeah, he's not that guy.
Face. He's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
And now he's just a clown for our amusement.
Is it elder abuse? Is that what you're suggesting at this point? Did you watch any of this this event that you're talking about, the Godfather reunion?
I have to stop talking to you now.
Taylor Hackford was the moderator, the director Taylor Hackford, who's a huge fan. He's the one who was asking the questions. He did a real nice job.
Bean doesn't need the other half of the conversation, which I enjoy.
He's just a juggernaut. He's a force of nature. These stars born on today, May 1st, Tim McGraw is 50 years old today. Wes Anderson turns 48. Julie Benz is 45. And Jamie Dornan, you know him from the Waved Silken Whip show.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that's it. He is 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Got time for one more look at the showbiz news. Here's Ralph Garman.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
Fate of the Furious, still number one. $19.4 million made it number one this weekend. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Over Kevin, you haven't seen that movie in like 8 days or something.
Well, I mean, I saw it twice on this day.
You got to miss it at this point.
I'm going to see it three times on another day, and then I will see it four times on 2 days.
So Cars Go Fast, that's what this one's about?
Oh, it's so good.
How to Be a Latin Lover debuted at number two with $12 million. Then Bahubali 2, The Conclusion. Now, if I haven't seen Bahubali, I can't imagine I would understand what's going on with Bahubali 2, The Conclusion. But a lot of people went. $10 million.
Not heard of that.
What it made this weekend.
Project.
The Circle was fourth. The Boss Baby was fifth. Beauty and the Beast, Going in Style. Smurfs, The Lost Village, Gifted, and Unforgettable. Rounding out the top 10 of the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, Madonna's made it very clear that she does not want them to make that new movie about her life. But it looks like she can't stop them from making it. New York Post is reporting that she's been trashing the movie on social media. But here's the thing. She didn't write any of her early hits. She doesn't control the copyrights to any of those songs.
Interesting.
So there's no way she can stop that music from being used in the movie. Songs like Holiday, Crazy for You, Borderline, Like a Virgin, Material Girl, and Dress You Up are all up for grabs for this film.
Is that right?
Even though she sang them, she has no voice in whether they can be used in a film or not.
No.
That's a surprise to me.
Wow. Well, no one does. It doesn't matter if you sing or not. Who has the publishing rights? So it gives people permission to use music. And she has none of that. So
I always thought that songwriting publishing rights were separate from the sound recording itself, but apparently not. So she's got to be steamed about this.
Well, they may not use her voice in those versions. They'll just re-record them with a sound alike. There's no problem with that. She has gone on social media saying that only she can tell her story because she has lived the life. But if you have not lived the life, then the life that you lived have not been living life of the living.
She said that?
A lot of stuff like that. Okay. Yeah. Very pretentious gobbledygook.
What happened to Madonna's face?
Patrick Swayze was in a movie called Dirty Dancing once. A classic. And a lot of his stuff was auctioned off over the weekend, including the jacket he wore in that movie. What do you think it went for, Allie?
That leather jacket?
What would you pay for that leather jacket?
The Johnny classic Castle.
Johnny Castle leather jacket, Patrick Swayze Dirty Dancing jacket.
The one that she got to wear in the back of that 56
you
Chevy.
Heard me.
Okay, I would say $85,000.
No, it's a little high. $62,500 is what it went for this weekend.
Lucky.
His widow, Lisa Niemi, was the one selling off a lot of his stuff. And she said she had mixed feelings about selling the items. Meanwhile, Patrick's daughter, Danielle, told the press she did not have any mixed feelings about selling off the items. She said they were family heirlooms and should not have been sold.
Oh,
so a little bad blood amongst the family members regarding this auction over the weekend. No word on how much the collective prices for all the items brought in for his widow, but it sounds like his daughter was not pleased the mom was selling off dad's stuff. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Kids, right?
Hmm?
Kids.
Right?
Yep. Right?
Right.
Kids.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. All those kids.
Right.
We now know who's going to host The Gong Show. Very exciting. British comedy legend Tommy Maitland. Tommy Maitland will be the host of The Gong Show.
Wait, I'm sorry, who?
Tommy Maitland.
You know him.
You know Tommy Maitland.
And he is famous from...
Oh, how you doing? How's it going? Tommy Maitland.
Yeah, huge British star.
We would know him by...
His comedy legendary.
His and new Twitter and new Instagram.
How dare you, Allie? Are you trying to say he is not a legendary British comic talent?
He resembles someone.
There is a little resemblance there of comedian actor Mike Myers.
Oh.
Who apparently will be hosting The Gong Show.
His friend Tommy will be hosting The Gong Show.
As a character. He will adopt this character and be the host of the show versus hosting it himself.
Look,
He is a very talented.
Who wasn't looking? Who was not looking, by the way, that we had to be told to do that?
It's easy to jump to the conclusion that this is a terrible idea.
Who's jumping to that conclusion?
I think it's great.
But
What's wrong with you? Why are you making all bad assumptions?
I know everyone thinks this is going to suck.
No, not everyone thinks anything of the sort.
But what I'm saying is.
What you piped down to like know Myers, what people are thinking or saying.
Started with look.
We were all paying attention and being quiet. And then start telling us what we were thinking.
But hear me out.
But at least he was wrong.
I know this is an unpopular opinion.
It's not at all.
But Mike Myers has a long history of creating great and funny, fully formed characters. And I think he's talented enough to pull it off. And I think I'm going to prove you guys wrong when you see how good he is.
Shut up, fool!
Oh, that's got to hurt.
Just one bag and one desert. That's all I need.
Misunderstood your level of interest, sorry.
Tommy Maitland said regarding his gig on The Tonight Show, when Will Arnett came to me and asked me to host a gong show, I said, I'm honored at the request, but I'm retired. Then he told me how much I was being paid, and I said, I'm still honored, but I'm no longer retired. See? It's already funny.
That's what I'm saying. You're poo-pooing it. I'm telling you it's going to work.
So need to not talk to you anymore at this point. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tim McGraw is 50 years old today. You know, his dad was the Tugger.
Sure.
Well, Tug McGraw was his name.
Yeah, the Tugger.
Tugger sounds like
Tugger.
A
trust me, he was known as the Tugger. Good old Tugger. Tug McGraw, legendary baseball player for the Mets and Phils back in the day. 50 years old today is Tim McGraw. Wes Anderson is 48 years old. Julie Benz. Remember her from Dexter fame. She is 45 years old. Jamie Dornan from 50 Shades of Grey, 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour this afternoon on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Bean makes his guests. We also have Andrew Tolles from the L.A. Dodgers in studio tomorrow. And your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta as well tomorrow morning.